Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Well, over the long haul, people to buy farms can expect them to return between 10 and 11% on their investment. Still, that probably will take a couple of decades. Farmers live poor and die rich. Most in agriculture have heard this old adage and understand it. It rings true because, as University of Illinois Extension agricultural economist Gary Schnicke explains, the return from a farm comes in two forms, and the liquid one doesn't really cover the cost of ownership.
Yeah, so if you look at the what makes up returns, there's two parts of it. The current return, which is for farmland cash rent, or the return from what farmers get in farming it, and then there's capital gain. And the capital gain is the change in the farmland price over time.
It used to be that the split between these two income sources, the return from farming, the farm, or the current liquid cash return, and the return from the investment in the farm or the capital gain, was about equal. That's no longer the case, and it makes it really hard to finance buying a farm, says Schnicke.
Over time, the current return has been decreasing. It has averaged over the 1970 through 2021 period 5%, and now it's down to 3%.
In practice, this declining annual income portion of owning the farm, the part you get from selling the crop, isn't enough to service the debt or the mortgage on the farm unless the down payment was bigger than 50% of the purchase price.
So that comes back sort of the old adage that farmers live poor and die rich. And part of the reason why that is because, you know, if you're buying land, you have to find alternative other sources to finance that farmland.
The end result, says Gary Schnicke, is that farmland is a good asset, returning 10 to 11% over the long run, but that the entry cost is really high. Well, last week was Rail Safety Week, an opportunity to share information on how to be safe around railroad crossings by Operation Lifesaver and supported by American Farm Bureau. OLI Executive Director Rachel Molly says Rail Safety Week promotes their work to keep you safe at rail crossings. It's important to highlight safety around rail crossings because of the many incidents that happen at them each year.
Every 3 hours, there is an incident, either a person or a vehicle is struck in the United States. And according to the Federal Railroad Administration, in 2020, just under 2,000 grade crossing incidents happened, which resulted in 198 deaths and 688 injuries. That's really too much.
Molly says farm and ranch crossings are typically private with no safety equipment, bringing additional dangers.
And approximately 15% of all crossing collisions happen at a private railroad crossing each year. So it's especially important that drivers of farm vehicles are aware, they look both ways, they don't commit to the crossing if they can't quickly clear the crossing. And we also don't want them to get stuck in their farm equipment on the railroad track.
You can request a free rail safety presentation for your organization at OLI.org. The last 2 years for Oregon agriculture has been very challenging, to say the least. In 2020, producers dealt with not only the worldwide pandemic that shut down the supply chain, but also historic wildfires over the summer and Labor Day weekend. And in 2021, not only have the impacts of COVID-19 stuck around, but producers were dealt a historic drought as well as more wildfires. But despite all of that, Alexis Taylor, head of the Oregon Department of Agriculture, says farmers continue to produce world-class products. She says Oregon export numbers were pretty strong in 2020, as roughly $2.5 billion worth of agriculture, food, and beverage products were shipped overseas, with 72% of that going to six markets. Taylor pointed out that while they continue to host virtual trade meetings, they are looking forward to a return to in-person meetings.
We are very anxious to get back overseas when we're able. You know, our focus, I think, coming out of this pandemic, when we're able to travel again, looking towards 2022, likely, is spending some time with those key markets and some of our top training partners and really reinvesting and reintroducing ourselves, who we are as Oregon agriculture, and the fantastic products that we produce.
Taylor noted the priorities post-pandemic include Canada, Mexico, Southeast Asia, China, and Japan. Another issue for Oregon agriculture, specifically the livestock sector over the past 2 years, has been issues with packing houses. She says problems in Nebraska and Iowa ripple back to the rangelands of Oregon.
And our small to mid-size meat processors that we had in the state were already over capacity. And so we've done a lot of work with the Oregon legislature and our Oregon livestock sector to, you know, set up a state meat inspection program. We're working through that now.
Taylor added that the state legislature also provided ODA $2 million to create a grant program to expand or create new slaughter and processing facilities within the state to help meet the growing demand. Details of that program have yet to be introduced, but they are working on it. And from barbecue pork riblets to loin strips, the tailgating of today is evolving from the usual burgers and hot dogs. Tailgating is a great opportunity for pork as people get back together at sporting events, whether at home or in a parking lot. Neil Hull, director of channel marketing with the National Pork Board, says third-party pork checkoff-funded research indicates sausage and brats are top grilling items, but other forms of promotions may influence pork eaters.
An affordable protein, it's approachable, and it's one of those items that sometimes gets overlooked. I would argue, though, that as through the pandemic as consumers, and we know that, you know, more people were cooking at home, everybody talked about their meat IQ increase. So you're also seeing the incidence of ribs and pork chops are really, you know, they're relatively solid tailgating. And I think those are areas where we can help bring those to the forefront.
Hull outlines who is most likely to tailgate based on the survey results.
You know, if you look at the data, the South rises, you know, there's a more propensity to grill pork items in the South. In the Midwest, we own brats and sausage. I mean, that's kind of the mainstay. You always talk about it, tailgates, there's this cloud of smoke overhead, but that's really where we play well.
28% of U.S. adults are likely to recreate a tailgate experience at home ahead of a game, and younger adults are more likely than all segments to recreate a tailgate at home. The most popular tailgate sport might surprise you.
You know, it's what rises to the top is Major League Soccer is the top for tailgating. You know, right close behind that is NCAA football. And you've seen the news reports of, you know, packed stadiums, whether it be in the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12. So we are in full swing of tailgating. It's a great opportunity for pork.
One benefit of pork and tailgating is it can fit into whatever time of day sports fans gather, from breakfast to supper. There is a pork option for consumers. Visit pork.org for recipe inspiration for your next tailgate. And lastly, here on American Ag Today, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting is accepting applications from agricultural communication students for the 2021 NAFB Convention Social Media Corps. Students will cover the sessions, events, news, and awards at the 78th annual NAFB Convention. The Social Media Corps will fully participate in the convention, scheduled November 17th through the 19th in Kansas City, Missouri. The group will take to NAFB's digital platforms to share stories from the convention and the trade talk floor. Participants are chosen through a competitive application process, with applications due by 5 p.m. Central Time on Friday, October 29th. The three interns will be announced on November 3rd. You can learn more by going to nafb.com. This has been American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.